have a purpose, it won't have a meaning.
If it doesn't have a purpose, it won't have a meaning. If it doesn't have a purpose, it won't have a meaning. If it doesn't have a purpose. Well, that was a lot better than the course book flying across the room. So right now, give it a purpose for it to have a meaning. Give this class a purpose. What is it you'd like to see different? One thing I'd like to see differently in my life is one situation that I'd like to see differently in my life is one situation I'd like to see differently in my life is, I mean, answer that question. What situation would you like to see differently? Is there a person you need to see differently? Is there a person you need to see differently? Do you need to see yourself differently? Do you need a new perception of you? So be it. All right. Today we're going to be on page 53. Remember, with the Course in Miracles, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Got a few spare books up here, brother, if you'd like to check it out. Page 53, Right Teaching, Right Learning, Chapter 4. Okay. Right Teaching, Right Learning. And whenever you use it, and whenever it, this is, in order for this section to have really a lot of meaning, whenever it's talking about the ego, it's talking about the perception of yourself that you have right now. It's talking about who you think you are right now. And when you look at it that way, this will be a much more powerful section. And whenever it talks about ego, it's also talking about the part of the mind that thinks it's separate and the part of the mind that thinks it's afraid. Okay? And this, because if not, this won't make a lot of sense, because it constantly says ego, ego, ego. And I don't want ego to be some abstract term. So a lot of times I substitute the Course meaning for the word. Okay. And this is also great if you're dealing with relationships or children or anything like this. This is a great section. It's called Right Teaching, Right Learning. Okay. It says a good teacher clarifies his own ideas and strengthens his own ideas by teaching them. Teacher and pupil are alike in the learning process. Teacher and pupil are in the same order of learning. And unless the teacher and pupil share their lessons, conviction will be lacking. A good teacher must believe in the ideas he teaches. But a good teacher must also meet another condition. A good teacher must believe in the students to whom he offers the ideas. We could spend a whole hour easily on that one paragraph. And it's one of those paragraphs that you can't hear it too much. So I'm going to take it line by line. The Course in Miracles is really just a book full of universal laws. That's what I've come to realize. It's just universal law. For instance, he says, a good teacher clarifies his ideas. So if I'm going to get somebody to see my point of view, then I need to clarify my ideas. Hey. And then if you have an idea that you want to strengthen in yourself, if there's an idea you want to strengthen, if there's an idea you want to make stronger, the Course says, well, you strengthen it by teaching it. And then it says, to teach means to demonstrate. And that's very important. Teaching isn't talking. Teaching, according to the Course, is demonstrating it. Like a lot of times in my class, especially on Sunday, I talk about aliveness and joy and enthusiasm, and then I'll try to demonstrate that and freak people out sometimes because I'll just let loose. Because I could talk about being alive all day, people go,
But if I'm doing the Jane Brown costume, I let myself go. You know what I'm saying? And I'm having a good time. Because that way I'll attract people to my classes that I enjoy.
And everybody that's frightened by me will go run away. So I end up with the people who want to have fun just like I do. So you, when you compromise who you are, you end up with a lot of people you don't enjoy around you. And if there's a lot of people you don't enjoy around you, you're not being your authentic self. Because if you are really a black and white kind of person, if you're really stepping out and you're really being yourself, people will make a decision real quick about you. But if you, but if you're hiding, they don't know what to choose. And quietness and a placid exterior is just a form of hiding from people. So if you want to really attract your friends, you have to stop hiding and let them see who your buddies see. See, this is the classroom personality. I don't trust them at all. Okay, I don't believe in anybody's classroom personality, you know, because usually the classroom personality is the representative. So the representative sits in the chair and listens to the class. And then relays his messages to you. And then you decide whether or not you like what you hear. You know what I'm saying? So this is the representative. This is the ego. So if you want to, so if you're a good demonstrator, so check this out, a good demonstrator clarifies his own ideas and strengthens them by demonstrating them. Okay? Teacher and pupil are alike in the learning process. Rule number two. If you're going to have a healing and if you're going to get a point across, then you demonstrate it and you have to see the other person as the same as you. Most people try to get a point across from an inferior or superior position where they think they're right and the other person's wrong, one person's higher, one person's lower. Well, that doesn't work. As we all know, it doesn't work. But the Course is saying if you really want to get an idea taught, if you really want to get an idea across, then you have to see the teacher and the pupil or you and the other person as the same, that you all are in the same order of learning, that you are alike in the learning process. You're both trying to learn, not just one of you. That's why it's so important in relationships to listen to each other. I mean, really, really listen, because you have to separate the fantasy from the reality of the people that you're around. And you can't separate the fantasy from the reality if you don't hear them share their thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions. Because most of the time when you are attracted to somebody, you're just attracted to them because there's some need that you think they can meet. And you have a fantasy about what you'd like to experience with them. And all this happened before you ever say, "What's your name?" You know that's true. That's why you walked up to them in the first place, because there was something about them that attracted you. And what would attract you about somebody but something that you are already making up from your past, because you don't know them. So you're really kind of looking for somebody to act out your fantasies with, whether that fantasy is a need for companionship or a need for some kind of a stroke. The Course calls it another desire to restore your wounded self-esteem. Okay, the other one didn't work out really well like you wanted to, so this is the opportunity for this person to make up for what didn't happen to you in the last relationship. So they're really there to make me feel, they're really there to make me feel better about myself at some level, to restore my wounded self-esteem, you know. So rule number one, I got to demonstrate it. Rule number two, I have to see the person that I'm getting ready to share it with as being my equal, that we're in the same order of learning. Then number three, we have to realize that unless we share our lesson, we are not going to believe in it. So first, then I got to see you as the same as me, and then I got to understand that we're in the same order of learning, which means we need to share it. Both of us need to have that idea. To believe in it, both of us need to start putting energy in that idea. To believe in it, and it's not, and the Course would say there aren't basically but two ideas that you that any, at any given time you're investing in. You're either investing in the idea of love, or you're investing in the idea of fear, which is the same as saying you're either investing in the idea of union, or you're investing in the idea of separation. That's it. Now, we all got our little personal personalities and learnings from the world and philosophies and beliefs and all that. But either we're basically moving towards some form of union but we're moving towards some form of separation, some form of peace, some form of conflict. So then we need to share that idea. If I'm in a relationship with you, or there's something that I'm, some idea I'm trying to give to you, then first of all, I have to demonstrate it. I have to believe that you are like me. We both need to agree that that's an idea that we want to share. Okay. Notice that in laying down these guidelines, and people say, well, what if the other person doesn't want to do that? Well, if the other person doesn't want to do that, they have a right to not want to do that. But then you have the right to choose out of that relationship. You have the right to choose for what you want also. You know, that's your right. You could stay, and if you decide to stay, then you have to take responsibility for the decision to stay. Because if you don't take responsibility for the decision to stay, then you're going to give that person hell, and they don't deserve that just because they chose not to do what you wanted to do. Just because they didn't want to do what you wanted to do, you had a choice to deal with it or not. You decided you were going to still hang. Then take responsibility for that decision. Honor that person's freedom. Leave them alone. Most people can't do that.
Yeah, what a concept.
Yeah, what a concept. Leave me alone. Now, you've heard people say that in relationships. Leave me alone. That's a very valid request. That's not mean. That's not selfish. That's not cruel. They're just telling you, I want peace right now. I'm not choosing to do this. I want peace right now. You can't make me do this. I don't want to do this. But you do have the freedom to choose your reaction to it. You know, your reaction is, I'll stay or I'll go. I'll take responsibility. Whatever your reaction is. Because there is no point in being angry at a fact. If it's a fact, it doesn't do any good to be angry. And if this is the situation you're dealing with, now, I'm saying all this very calmly, and you also may still get angry and upset. As a matter of fact, the Course in Miracles teaches that you are very likely to get angry and upset at the beginning of learning how to hear and think differently. It says a point blank in the book. You're going to probably get upset. And one of the errors that we make when we get on the spiritual path is we think we're supposed to feel peaceful all the time. On the way to feeling peaceful all the time, you won't. Okay? Let that go. You will not be happy every day, all day. You will not feel peace about whatever the heck comes up during the day, all day. If we already knew how to do that, we'd already be enlightened. So to have that expectation of yourself makes the journey hard. If you want to make the journey easier, include your ego reactions in your life. Don't expect every day to go smoothly while you're learning how to have every day go smoothly. Well, you freak out when the simplest thing come up because you think it's supposed to never happen to you now because you think about the Course sometimes 2 minutes a day. You know, so my whole life goes to change, you know, because I think about the Course 1 second out of an hour and my whole life hasn't changed. It doesn't work. Okay, so we got that. Okay, then it says a good teacher must believe. This is important. A good teacher must believe in the ideas the teacher teaches. Okay, so if you're going to be a good demonstrator, you got to believe in what you're demonstrating yourself. You can't be that thing like parents do with kids, do as I say, not as I do. That won't work in any relationship. So I should not try to demonstrate or teach or share any idea that I don't believe in myself. So a good teacher has to believe in the ideas that he teaches, but the good teacher is on page 53. But a good teacher must also meet another condition. A good teacher must believe in the students to whom he offers the ideas. Okay, so I got to believe in what I'm telling you, but I got to believe in you too. Most people go, I'm going to share this with my child, my mate, my friend, but I know they're not going to want to hear that stuff. See, I don't believe in the person that I'm giving it to. And if I don't believe in the person that I'm giving it to, I'm not a good teacher. If I'm sitting up here in front of this class doing the Course, not believing that you all are capable of receiving it, then I don't have any business sitting up here. Why would I want to teach people that I didn't believe had the ability to receive it? So, and then you reduce that in a relationship to mean something like, what am I doing in a relationship with a person I don't believe in? What am I doing in a relationship with a person I don't trust? What am I doing in a relationship with a person I'm afraid of? See? So that's all about the course. You can take it and you can apply it to, if it's the truth, you can apply it to anything. So let me throw paragraph one open for questions, discussions, and ahas. On Wednesday, I love to get dialogue going. So have at me.
Well, I have a question about believing in the student.
Okay.
If you are working with someone, and it's not necessarily directly talking about spirituality or personal growth,
mm-hmm.
If you hold that consciousness that they are whole and complete, is there an energy exchange that's below the words? Is that what this is about?
That's also what this is about.
Okay.
Okay.
So believing in yourself and your ideas that you hold to be true, even though you don't say to them, you're just perfectly innocent, whole child of God, you might be talking about how to make a resume with someone that needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that they can do this because they have the same capacity.
There you go. That's the exact same thing.
Place of unity.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that really it's just you you're talking to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to hold that space and believe in that student.
That's the whole lesson. You just described the whole lesson. That's the whole lesson. And that's why I said you can apply the truth to anything. Like you said, if I'm going to show you how to write a resume, I have to believe that you are capable of learning how to write a resume. I have to also believe in what I'm going to show you. I have to believe that we're equal on the same order of learning. And then I have to demonstrate it. And if I demonstrate it, I'm strengthening it. Because you'll believe in, like when I did the firewalk, and I walked the hot coals, I had no intention of doing it when I first went there that evening. I was kind of looking at my friends, wondering if they had lost their minds. But I ended up doing it three times that evening. And the reason why I did it was because it was my friends. It's like, we're equal. If they can walk it, I can walk it. See, so then they were demonstrating it. They walked it. So that also strengthened my belief that it was possible. Hey, they said, yeah, I think you ought to walk the fire. That wouldn't have had the same effect. But when they walked the fire, then they became my teacher. You see? So as you begin to wake up in spirit, you actually pay less attention to the words that people say. And you're much more conscious of their actions because words are so easy to say. Especially on the spiritual path. That's why a lot of times people on the spiritual path get hurt a lot in their relationships. Because they believe what the people around them are saying. And they don't realize those people are just sharing what they're ready to learn. And they mistake readiness for mastery. Mm-hmm. So that a person will say, I'm ready to be more spiritual. And so you think, so you start dealing with them like they've already integrated those principles. And then you get your feelings hurt because they really haven't. They're just really just setting an idea. What you would do is you hear what they would say, then you would listen to them and you would observe their experience. And that'll give you a more accurate picture of where they are. But the words are cheap. Words are great for helping to set the direction of your mind. It's like words give you, oh, I'm going to be a more loving child of God. Okay, that helps me focus my attention in a certain direction. But that doesn't mean I recognize I'm a holy child of God yet. So words should be the last thing that you take as proof about something that you do with somebody. Just put them on. They're good to have them. But check out the behavior, the action. And most especially how they're treating people around them. Because you may be the person they're trying to impress right now. So they're going to be on their best behavior for you. How did they treat the waiter? They screamed at him because they made a mistake. They still talking bad about their past partner. You know, they're complaining about everybody around them. You know, because they may be trying to impress you. So they're not going to be honest with you. But nobody has a good enough memory to be on all the time. They're going to slip. So it's easy. That's what the Course keeps saying. The truth is simple. The truth is obvious. But there's nothing that's harder for an ego to see than something that's obvious. That's what the Course teaches. That simplicity, quote, simplicity is very difficult for a twisted mind. I love that. I love that line. So if you got a complicated, twisted mind, if somebody tells you something very simple, you're going to completely miss it. Like if you were to say, like you say, if the presidential candidate said, you know, the answer is we need to love each other, and we need to forgive each other, and we really need to focus on the fact that we're all one, and we're in this together, then that's really the answer. Do you think for 1 second people were doing the same but attack the hell out of him? Of course they would, because they are complicated, twisted minds, full of fear and separation and division.
So then basically the Course is telling us to get more, I'm getting more grounded, so be more grounded in the presence of the simple truth, even though we're living in this drama and seeing the ego at work, and so it's always present.
It's always, and it always works, but the average person just never uses it. Anybody hasn't signed the contact list?
You're gonna hear from them too. It's really soon, so get on the list.
Yeah, seriously, there is a method in my madness. Okay.
So then, how do we go about being in that place more amongst conversations from the right ear, and then, you know, it's like we got this, I know for me, it's like I got this going on, and I'm aware of this groundedness, truth, but this conversation just goes, you know, out of control.
Well, the key to the Course says is that you listen to your ego, but you just don't let it direct your actions. So you let yourself hear what it's saying. You don't spend all your time trying to repress your thoughts. It's just that if I had a thought that said I should shoot somebody, I wouldn't pay any attention to it. You know what I'm saying? I hear it, but I wouldn't let it direct my actions. And what I found in my own personal experience was I realized that everything I perceived was what I've learned. And the way I think about everything is what I've learned. So obviously, what I've got to do is give myself new learnings. And the only way I could do that was through repetition and demonstration. So what I do is, even 28 years later, that's how long I've been studying the Course, I read it every day. I hear it every day, an average of 2 or 3 hours a day. That's when so why? Because I hear the rest of this stuff. So it's like people think you need to take a vacation from the truth. Well, I got to get away from the truth. It's like, well, you listen to the crowd all the time, and you never go, well, I've heard enough of what the world teaches. But I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I need to get away from the truth for a while, and da da da. It's like saying I need to get away from breath for a while. You know what I'm saying? It's like I breathed last week, so I don't have to breathe this week. That's the same attitude of I've done that, I've read that, I've already, you know what I'm saying? It's that same attitude. It's like you can't allow your body to be sustained off last week's meal. You can't expect your life to be sustained off a truth you're not practicing right now. And that's what causes a lot of pain for truth students. They really act like that. I said it one time 6 weeks ago, why isn't my life still working? And it's because they're listening to their ego. They're letting their ego distract them from focusing on the truth. And when you really start to accept the truth, it's when you usually create some kind of a major drama to make you try to run away from it and be afraid of it. So your ego at that point is trying to get you away from the truth, away from the new perspective that you learned. So those of you who are seriously and sincerely trying to change your mind right now, do not be surprised if you create or throw up something or have something happen in your life that completely takes you for a loop. That is not unusual at all. That happens all the time when a person tries to make a major change. Their old self creates a major frightening experience in order to distract them from their goal. And what they should do is take the situation that's upsetting you and apply the truth to it. Take that situation to the truth. Don't think, now I'm in this intense situation, there's got to be some other answer other than what I've been studying. And also, when you're completely upset, you're beyond reason. So it's highly unlikely that anything that anybody says to you is going to make you feel better. So don't even put that expectation on the people around you, that they're going to say something to make you feel better. What they can do is hold a light for you, remind you of the truth, and let you have your feelings about that, because it's very highly unlikely that there's anything that they're going to say, if you're in it, that you're going to feel better, because your ego is in control right now. And so to get your ego out of control, you have to let yourself feel it, vent it, express it, you know. And that's demonstrating. Demonstrating is taking what we've learned and applying it to situations as they come up, knowing that you're going to have a variety of emotional responses going on. You're going to feel angry sometimes, you're going to feel good sometimes, you're going to feel depressed sometimes, you're going to feel weary sometimes, you're going to feel not enough sometimes, you're going to feel enough sometimes. But all of those things are still supposed to be brought to the truth. And you have to believe in yourself. You're the student too. So you have to believe in the self that you're giving the ideas to. And you're giving the ideas to you. So you have to believe in you too. Anybody else? We go to the next paragraph, which is a trip. The next paragraph is a trip.
Take another hit.
All right, take another. Y'all ready for another hit of the course? Okay. It's each sentence is a universal law. Many stand guard over their ideas because many want to protect their thought systems that they are, and learning means change. Change is always fearful to the separated because the separated cannot conceive of change as a move towards healing the separation. The separated always perceive change as a move towards further separation because the separation was their first experience of change. That means you believe that if you allow no change to enter into your ego, you will find peace. This profound confusion, what confusion? Of believing that if you allow no change in your ego, you will find peace, is possible only if you maintain that the same thought system can stand on two foundations. In other words, nothing can reach spirit from the ego. Nothing can reach spirit from the ego. Nothing can reach spirit from the ego. And nothing can reach the ego from spirit. Interesting. Nothing can reach the ego from spirit. Spirit can neither strengthen your ego. Spirit cannot reduce the conflict within your ego. The ego is a contradiction. In other words, yourself and God's self are in opposition. Yourself and God's self are opposed in source, in direction, and in outcome. Yourself, that means the ego, and God are opposed in source, in direction, and in outcome. They are fundamentally irreconcilable because spirit cannot perceive and the ego cannot know. So spirit and ego are therefore not in communication, and spirit and ego can never be in communication. Nevertheless, the ego can learn, even though the ego's maker can be misguided. But you cannot, however, make the totally lifeless out of the life given. Another paragraph that you could spend two days on. So let's go down it again. All right. Men stand guard over their ideas because they want to protect their thought system as they are. So most people are guarding the way they think because they want to protect the way they think. That's why people a lot of times are not open to your point of view. I watch a lot of times when people come into the class, and, you know, especially if they're new, they're usually very protected. Okay, because they got to stand guard over their thought system. They don't know what this is, and they don't know what I'm talking about, and they don't know what it's going to be about. You can just, they're ready. Okay, they're standing guard over their thought system, okay, because they want to protect their way of thinking. And whenever you say you want to learn, you're saying, I'm ready to change. So I love these definitions in the course. So learning means change. So if you read this book, and everywhere you saw the word learning, you substituted the word change, it'll freak you out. And that's what I learned to do over the years to keep the course fresh. I go back through it, but I read it with substitution, and it always becomes a brand new book. So if you're standing guard over the way you think, but you say you want to learn, how can you? Because learning means change. So when you say I'm ready to learn, you're saying I'm ready to change. So that means you can't stand guard over the way you believe if you really want to learn. Then it says, but why is change frightening? I just always wonder, why do we fight change? Okay, the Course says, well, the reason why we, this is such a beautiful explanation. The Course says the reason why we fight change was because our first experience of change was changing from the bliss state that we had with God to the state that we're worrying about MasterCard bills. I'll say it again. The reason why the Course says we are afraid of change is the first experience we had of change was from a state of unity with love and God to a state where we're in separation and fear. So whenever someone mentions change, it frightens us because change hasn't been the best thing in terms of what we originally were compared to where we think we are right now. See, that makes perfect sense. But that's such a simple explanation that the ego will go, huh? Because it's so simple. I'll say it again. If I was in a really cool state in a really comfortable home, and that's all I've known all my life, and all of a sudden I was thrown out of that house, and I was thrown onto the street, and I became homeless, I would be afraid of the idea of change. Because my first experience of change was leaving a really cool state, going into hell. So if someone says to me, change, I'm going to be a little leery about it. That's why Course says we are afraid of change. Then it goes on to say, that means if you believe, so we believe that we allow no change in our personality, that's how we're going to find peace. So he says that's a profound confusion because your ego is not in communication with God. So who you think you are cannot be in communication with God. That's a powerful concept. Let me elaborate on that. If I make up that I am, who remember Roy Rogers? Okay, I have to check in. All right, Roy Rogers takes you on back there a little bit. All right, okay. He's a TV cowboy. Okay. Okay, now if I make up that I am Roy Rogers, that is an idea or an image that I've made up, correct? So therefore, Roy Rogers being me doesn't exist. Can we agree on that? Because this is very important. All right. So that means there is no communication between Roy Rogers Earl and God because Roy Rogers Earl doesn't exist. He's just made up. Now, suppose I identified with being Roy Rogers Earl. And I thought I really was Roy Rogers Earl. And I was trying to go get his branch. Okay, I'd have a hard time because I'm really not, but I could be crazy enough to think I really am. We see that all the time, where people get ideas in their mind and they identify with the idea, and they really, for instance, you got the idea, I'm not enough, and nobody loves me. That's an idea. You identify with that idea, then you operate your life from that idea, right? But that idea is just as much an image as Roy Rogers being Earl. That's just another image you made up. That image of you is not in communication with God because it doesn't exist. So when you're praying to God from an image of yourself that doesn't exist, you're not communicating with God. That's because that's not who you are. You are not this image that you made yourself up to be. And that's why its prayers seem like they aren't answered, because those prayers are not coming from you. Those prayers are coming from something you're identifying as being you.
And so the prayers are just as false as that made up Roy Rogers.
Right, because the prayer is coming from a part of you that doesn't even exist. The part of you that thinks you're separate from God. The part of you that thinks you're separate from everybody else. The part that thinks you're not enough. The part that's afraid. We identify with that part of us, which is the same as identifying with Roy Rogers. And then wondering why Roy Rogers is not in communication with God. So that's why the Course is trying to give us a clear separation between our ego and us. Who we think we are versus who we really are, because it's who we really are that communicates with God. Does that make any sense? I'm checking in with everybody. Does this make sense? So the average person believes they are what they have taught themselves to believe they are. So then I am Earl Purdy, black man, separate from all of you, son to Joe and Georgia Purdy, who grows up one day and dies, who has various dysfunctional issues. And then I think that's who I am. The Course is saying that is not who you are. That's who you've been taught you are, and that's who you think you are, but you're not. You're the holy child of God. You are spirit. You are an infinite being. You are unlimited consciousness. You are beyond the body. You're not what you think you are. Because if you really were, you would be happier. If you really were who you think you are, your life would be more peaceful to you. So I went, oh, okay, that makes sense. So if you're praying from a sense of identity that you are not, it's no wonder people seem like they pray all the time and their prayers don't seem to be answered. They're not praying from their real self. They're praying from a made-up point of view of who they are.
So it says illusions can only create illusions.
So an illusion is creating. So what I do, so illusionary Earl makes up an illusionary God. The illusionary God is nothing but a bigger version of illusionary Earl.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now God is a man in the sky who's dysfunctional, who has jealousy, who destroys some of his children in favor of other of his children. You know, it's like God murders and wipes out, you know, floods the earth and kills all of his children except for whoever could get on a boat. Okay, that's what crazy people do. So what we do is we make God in our image. And now God is just this dysfunctional man somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why when we pray into a dysfunctional man that doesn't exist, it looks like nothing happens. You're not praying to a God that exists, according to the Course. And people are praying to a God that doesn't exist all the time, yet they're expecting to get results. And that error is coming from, number one, them identifying themselves as being separate from God, and number two, their idea of God is wrong. And then Course says that if God was to tell us we were wrong, that we would accuse God of being wrong. You're like, no. You're telling me that I'm something, you're something other than what I've made you up to be? This must be Satan. Because it's my idea of what God is what God is. Like if you got the idea I'm Roy Rogers, and I tell you I'm not Roy Rogers, you'd be trying to convince me that I'm wrong about that because you believe I'm Roy Rogers, and you got to be right. So if I say, no, I'm Earl. You're, no, you're not. You're Roy Rogers. No, I'm Earl. No, you're Roy Rogers. I made you up to be Roy Rogers. You look like Roy Rogers. You're trying to fool me. That's what we do God. God goes, y'all wrong. I'm not a separate being. I'm not a human body. I'm not about hell and sin and death and killing and damnation. That's a reflection of your own guilt, your own self-hatred. And now you've created me in the image that you have of yourself. You think you deserve punishment, so you create a God that punishes. You want people to die for what they do, so you create a God that kills and condemns. You've made God in your dysfunctional image, and then you pray to a God that doesn't exist. And I went to him. I want to be right more than I want to be happy. Because I have to say I'm wrong. So that paragraph is trying to get us to see that, but he says your ego can learn, which I think is interesting. Now, what do you mean your ego can learn? Well, think about it. If it's an image you made up, well, why don't you just create an image that's more in line with the truth, which is what the Course is doing. The Course is trying to give us ideas about ourselves that's more in line with what the truth is so that our idea about ourselves will not be blocking us anymore. Like, if I used to have an idea about myself that I wasn't enough, right? What if I had an idea about myself that I was whole and complete? That's still an idea I have about myself. But that idea about myself would be an idea that would be more in line with the truth about me. So that idea wouldn't hurt me. That idea would actually help me. But this idea that I'm not enough and I'm separate and I'm guilty and I'm sinful, that concept is going to create pain for me because I'm going to look at the world through that concept. But the Course says, let me give you a new concept. You're innocent, you only see the past, you're entitled to miracles, you place the future in the hands of God. All those workbook lessons are just new concepts that don't interfere with God, that don't interfere with the truth. See the difference? So when you accept these new ideas about yourself, these new ideas about yourself are not in conflict with your real self. Because your real self is loving and lovable. So when you say I'm loving and lovable, that's an idea about yourself, but that idea is not opposed to the truth about yourself. So it brings you closer to the truth about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're really, these new ideas that we're doing in lessons, we're teaching our ego, because we don't need to teach our real self, because our real self already knows all this.
Right. We're changing our self image.
The only thing we're doing is teaching our ego.
Right.
Wow.
A better way of looking at it is like it's almost like you're allowing a new ego to be made, but an ego that does not interfere with the truth instead of an ego that interferes with the truth. So I still look like Earl Purdy's separate black man, okay? But this new ego Earl Purdy will be saying stuff like, you are one with me, I'm one with you. I really want peace more than anything else. I'm going to take responsibility for what's happening to me right now. You see what I'm saying? It's like it's like I'm not the same Earl I was 20 years ago. And I won't be this one 20 years from now. That's why I try not to get too caught up in him. Because one day I'm going to say, he was what I used to be. So why be so caught up in him now?
Yeah.
Okay? But this new ego Earl is much more peaceful and loving than the old ego Earl. But he's just as much an ego as the other one was. He's just as unreal, but he's kind.
So like the Roy Rogers Earl has this really solid bubble around him, and his prayers that go up are really bouncing off his own illusion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But if we can be more in the truth ego, then it just seems to be a little more open and not have such a hard shell around it, so spirit can go in and out and we can communicate. Sort of like,
well, it's actually you. Actually, what happens, and just to go along with what you're saying, the ones you know you're not your ego, then you can listen to, you can pray directly to God.
Without having that.
Yeah, without even dealing with
ego shouting stuff back at you.
Right.
You can sort of get permeated.
Oh, yeah. You communicating with your right mind. You're not even paying attention to this part anymore. But if you get in this new ego, the idea of peace and the idea of love, then this new ego is also not trying to block your good.
It's softened it up a little.
Yeah, well, this new ego going to be saying stuff to you like, you're innocent. You really are free. You deserve to have peace. Because you taught it that. It's something, it was always what you made up. So you're just giving, you're just creating an image of yourself with God's help that's not opposite to the truth.
This doesn't have so much fight in it.
Because it was never made up to fight. You didn't make it, you're not making this one up to fight. You're making this one to go, I realize that all I see is the past. I'm giving everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. It's the you that's reacting to everything. So now you have new ways of reacting, and the Course is giving you these new ways. I place the future in the hands of God. Well, that's when I teach myself that, I'm building a concept of myself that believes that, and that concept of myself will tell me those thoughts, just like my concept of myself used to tell me I was insecure and not enough. You follow what I'm saying? It's what I taught myself. Everything we feel, you all, you feel the way you feel because you taught yourself to feel that way.
Yeah.
You feel the way you feel because you taught yourself to feel that way. If you feel like you're ugly, you taught yourself you were ugly. And
yeah.
The father, right, and that's
you
the,
believe
and,
that.
Right, but no matter what mommy said, at some level you had to accept that it's true. So ultimately, you were the one that taught you that, even though that they had an advantage over you in terms of power differential. Okay.
But you kept repeating that.
You kept repeating. And not only that, and this is, okay, so you built an image of yourself based on you're not enough, right? Well, then, if you walked into a party and there was a nice guy sitting here who was acknowledging you and complimenting you, and another guy that was unavailable and not really treating you well, you going for the guy that's unavailable and not treating you well because he would reinforce your belief that you are not enough. So he would be further fuel for your ego. And that's why people choose wrong relationships. It's because they're always going to choose a relationship that's in alignment with their ego and what they've been telling themselves. That's why one of the biggest wastes of time in the world is trying to have a relationship with a person that's insecure and wants to stay that way. Because they can't accept your love. It doesn't go in, it doesn't align with their perception of themselves. So they don't believe you, or they go unconscious. If you try to tell them, they just go unconscious. That's why you don't have to worry about being attacked when you practice the truth. It protects you. When you're around a purely ego mind and you start to really share the truth, it's going to go to sleep. So that's how you'll be protected. You'll just be putting people to sleep. And you would think you're boring, but you're really being protected. And you might be being protected more than you ever imagined right now. Because I've had that happen to me where I'm sitting up there talking to the person, but because I'm coming from a real place, I will literally watch them nod off in the middle of our conversation and go dead asleep. And I was like, what's going on? So I realized what I was talking about would not be something that the ego really wanted to hear. But then a minute I would go, and yesterday my neighbor left, and then this guy came over and had sex with his wife. What? The minute you come back to the body, the minute you come back to something about the world, the minute you come back to something meaningless, the ego is right there. And then you'll get to the point when you, if you study the truth enough, you'll have the opposite effect. Where if it's something real and something spiritual and something empowering, you'll be very alert. But as soon as they start talking the regular ego stuff, you'll start to nod out. And you'll have a hard time staying present. And some of you may be experiencing that. But I find myself sometimes and I get embarrassed because I fall dead asleep in the middle of some stuff that somebody's saying to me that's so meaningless that I can't even try to follow it. And I'd be like, what's wrong with me? I'm not staying, I'm nodding off. And it happens a lot with TV. It's not that I condemn TV. It's so much as it's the best way in the world for me to fall asleep. Because if I decide to look at it for a while, it's so meaningless in most cases. And the only reason why I'm looking at it is because it's in high definition. And getting the high definition TV was the worst thing that could have happened. I had pretty much let go of TV because I got high definition. I don't know if y'all, any of y'all got high definition TV, but it's like 8 times sharper than regular TV. So when you're looking at it, it's like the person, it's like it's right in front of you. It's almost 3-dimensional. So you'll find yourself looking at stuff just because of the way it looks. And so I started back to watch the TV a lot. But anyway, I fall asleep more. So my point is, when you begin to wake up, then the meaninglessness will put you to sleep. If you are asleep, the truth puts you to sleep. That's why when people first start studying the Course, one of the biggest issues that come up for them is they can be totally alert, and they can pick up the book, and they can try to read, and they'll go, many God, Chang out. And they wake up later and they book it, all drool all over their book and their head. And because it was so opposite to what the old ego, the part that's trying to stand guard. See, it's standing guard. And what do you do if you stand guard? Well, you're protecting something, right? Okay, well, your ego protects itself from the truth by taking you either into unconsciousness or connecting you with unconscious people. Or both. But unconscious people will not enjoy a conscious person. They'll get away from you. And so one of the things that happens a lot when a person starts to do their change of mind is that it looks like some relationships drop away. Or they don't hear from people that they used to hear from as much. And they get upset, they get alarmed, and they don't realize that what's happening is that their vibration is changing. And those people are on a different frequency of more conflict. And so they're not attracted to you anymore. And it's not that they sit down and decide they weren't going to call you. It's just you're all on a different channel now. They're on channel 5, you're on channel 8. And high def, if you're lucky. You know, lucky you're going to high def. Then you got a cable channel. You got so many, you know, you can change to, you know. So he says the ego can learn even though its maker can be misguided. But he says you can't totally make lifeless the life given. So in other words, of course, he's saying no matter what you think you're doing to yourself, you ultimately cannot destroy yourself. You can come up with the craziest stuff that you could ever create for yourself, but you still won't be able to destroy your eternal nature that was created by God. You can destroy your body. I mean, I met this guru in California one time when I was doing a talk, and I was teaching the course in the South, the belt buckle of the South, Memphis. And this is a very Bible-based area, very conservative. And I was teaching the course, which essentially teaches there is no hell, there is no sin, there are mistakes, but there's nothing you can do that could ultimately violate God. You're just not that powerful. So I was really afraid sometimes. I realized I wasn't really going public like I really wanted to or promote the stuff. Part of me was afraid somebody would take me out. You know, they'd think I was Satan and, you know, already black. And so there was part of me that was afraid to say this stuff. Still, sometimes it comes up. And I said, you know, I'll be honest, I believe, you know, somebody could kill me for saying this stuff. And he said, he looked at me, changed my face, he said, so what? He said, what? He said, so what? He said, it's just a body. And then I knew I wasn't there yet in that sense. But he was dead serious. He looked at the body as just a shell, a vehicle. It wasn't what he was. That's just like saying, you know, I'm not going to live my life because I'm afraid somebody's going to destroy this shirt. Now, I'm not this shirt, so if somebody destroyed it, I'm still here. But if I thought I was this shirt, then I got a real problem. And it's probably going to get really dirty and stinky because I'm not going to take it off. You see what I'm saying? Because I think I am this shirt. And we wonder why we have a stale life. You're attached to your body like a person would be attached to a shirt that they never changed. So he made me realize I really wasn't looking at things from my eternal nature. I was looking at things still from the standpoint of just being a body. So it brought me back to, again, the action. I could say that I didn't believe that I died or that I was a spiritual being, but when he said that, I immediately got a chance to say, you know what, I'm still identified with my body. The idea of death is frightening to me, which means I still haven't awakened yet, because if I'm awakened, the idea of death wouldn't frighten me at all, because I know it didn't really exist. So the coefficient of how awake I am spiritually is the coefficient of how much I believe in death. So if you can say all, we can say all we want to, but if you're afraid to die, you're still asleep. So, and it's like, I don't like that because I want to pretend I'm where I'm not. Don't you? Don't you like to pretend that you're on a level of consciousness that you're really not on yet? Doesn't it make you feel good to think you're really spiritual? You don't want nobody to blow that. You know, and it's so easy to blow it just like that. You know what I'm saying? And so I have to pretend that I'm much nicer than I am. And I have to pretend that I care about everybody much more than I do, so that I can feel good about myself. But then, of course, oh, I believe in God. Yes, you do. You believe in spirit. Yes, you do. Then what you worried about, huh? What you worried about? You believe you're God, right? Yeah. Okay, well, why are you worried about that issue? See, that get blown just like that.
No matter what the worry is.
Yeah. Yeah, no matter what the worry is. If I'm really connected to Source, what am I worried for? So the whole idea that I believe in God, but I'm scared to death, is bull. And the Course points that kind of stuff out, and that's why I think the ego hates the Course, because you can't read the Course and stay in denial and self-deception. But you can read a book on how to manifest a car and stay in denial and deception. You can manifest a soulmate, and y'all can both keep each other in denial and deception. You can manifest a house and still think you're just a body. But the Course says when you go for the Course, you are making a decision for the truth, which is different from making the decision to manifest something. So if you say I want to study the truth, he says that you're saying that, he said that you want all of your false ideas to be revealed to you. And that's the part that's a trip for people. is when they see how many false ideas they have, it freaks them out. And so they throw the truth down. Well, I'm getting out of this. And I'm going back to the manifesting book. Because this is threatening my whole thought system, my whole sense of identity, who I think I am, what I think is real. And we wonder why people don't hang with this. I'm always amazed that anybody shows up in my classes. Really. And any of you who have been here for a while, you know they go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. That's what's always funny to me when it's full of people go, man, you don't need a bigger place. I said, just wait. Come back in a couple of weeks. Because it's like that. It took me a while to get that and not take it personal. Because for a while, I thought, well, what's wrong with me? You know? Because it always seemed like it would stay pretty much the same size. Max 40. Max 40, then they drop back down. I saw that over and over and over again. No matter where I was, no matter how long I talked, I don't care how much people say they loved it, how much it meant to them, how important it was, yada, 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 that would happen. And then I realized I wasn't paying attention to what the Course was saying. The Course told me that the people that came were sent. It has nothing to do with my ego. It has nothing to do with my presentation. That's just my entertainment. That's why I do it the way I enjoy it. Not because I think it's going to attract people, but because I'm doing it, why not enjoy it? Because God is determining who comes. It has nothing, you know, if Marianne Williamson had 3,000 people at a meeting, it's because God sent 3,000 people to Marianne Williamson. You know, if you got clients and you're in the business, if you're going to use a conscious approach to your business, you would be asking God to send the people to you that would benefit the most through your business in the way that you are. You wouldn't think it's you building your business through your promotion. Your promotion would be just symbolic of your willingness to have it. So then you would look like you were promoting your business, and you might put it in the newspaper, but it's not because you think putting it in the newspaper is going to attract somebody. It's a symbol of your symbolic willingness to have it. That's a big point to keep in mind if anybody's out here trying to do their own thing. You know, if you want to mate, say, I'm ready to learn. You will be sent one. You know, not I'm ready to fix. I'm ready to have my needs met. I'm ready to have somebody fulfill my fantasy. That's not the way you get them. You go, universe, I'm ready to learn the true meaning of love. I'm ready to learn. And I know learning means change. So you would say, I'm ready to change. Not I'm ready to get somebody to fulfill my fantasy. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to learn. And spirit knows you well enough that you would learn best with somebody that you did feel the most compatible with. So more than likely, it's probably going to be someone who naturally fulfills your fantasy. But it won't be because you're trying to make them do it. It's like I like red, and you happen to be red. Now you guess that's what you are. So being red is no strain for you. But I'm like thrilled with red. So I'm just being me, Mr. Red. You just, oh gosh, you're so wonderful. I just love red people. But okay, you thrilled. I'm just being me. No sacrifice. We learn our lesson together. But we don't do it that way. We go, I like red. You're green. I'm going to turn you into red. And if you don't become red, I'm going to attack you for that. That's the way the sleep mind does it. Pick somebody and then try to fit that person into the box that they want. Okay? So I'm going to stop here. Let's do the love offering. Thank you, brother. I'm not doing AMT this month. You can tell you, I'm doing it next.
You're going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah, but I'm not doing AMT this month. Because I know you have some money for AMT.
I'll call you.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing, Holy Spirit. We will all send to you.
Exactly. And that's why when you critique a calm, I'm not hung up on numbers. And also, there's another thing about money that the Course says, too, that's important. It says people, there will be two types of people sent to you financially. Some people will be sent to give you the money that you need to stay and fulfill your function. And some people will be coming to teach you how much you need forgiveness. Because they're going to do exactly what you've done in the past so you will forgive them. Which means you've been in situations that you've received and you haven't given of what maybe wasn't even thought you weren't able to give. And so you forgive yourself every time you're around people who don't know the power of giving. And then other people are going to come into your experience specifically to give you what you need to continue to do. Now that could be whatever you think. That's happening on your job. Actually, you may think you're taking care of yourself on the job, but really, the Holy Spirit is sending you the money you need to stay through your job. That job, that money isn't coming from your boss or that business or even your astute acumen. It's coming from Spirit to you. So you could just as easily have money being sent to you and given to you inside a structured work environment, or you could also have money sent and given to you outside of a structured work environment where you're self-employed. The only difference is, it's harder for the average person to do it outside of a structured environment because the average person believes in things outside of themselves physically taking care of them. So the idea of a job feeding them is easier for them to believe in, so the money comes easier to a job even though they cuss the job and hate it. But that's really the way they believe they can receive, okay? Because if a person is going to be self-employed, it calls for an entirely different type of mindset from a person who's used to working in a structured employment. That's why so many people crash and burn. Because they don't have that external symbol to believe in, like the structured job. They have to believe in themselves, but they have to believe in God, which they don't. So they crash and burn. because I can't have the same attitude teaching the Course in Miracles on a donation basis as a person would have working for UPS. I couldn't make it. I have to believe that I'm going to be sent. I have to believe I'm sustained by the love of God. I have to believe that I'm one with you. I have to believe in you. I have to believe in... See, it puts you on a level where you got to take it to another level. You, like they say, they're demonstrating stuff. But it's easy to say that stuff when you feel like I got this job and they're going to give me this paycheck Friday. And it's easy to say at that point you got all the faith in the world. I know. I used to be in that kind of environment. And I thought I believed in God completely when I had that check coming from Bell South. You know, so I thought it's the tricks that the mind plays about money and employment and self-employment. And that's why if I go out to a restaurant or anywhere where I'm in, where people are living off of like waitresses or wherever, people are living off of donations and tips or whatever, for me to go in a situation like that, and that's what I do, and not put, see that person as the same as me and share with that person is insane. But if you don't know that giving and receiving is the same, the Course says the ego actually thinks it's gotten over if it can receive a lot and give nothing. In other words, the ego believes if I could go to a Cadillac dealer and I could get them to sell me a Cadillac for $100, I really got over because I got a great big Cadillac for only $100. So to the ego, it's how much can I get from you without me having to give anything? That's, you know what I'm saying? So but if you're becoming conscious and you know that what you give is what you receive, then you actually want to give as much full value as you possibly can for full, because that car is going to, you pay for a $100 car, you're going to get a $100 car, even if it seems like it's a $30,000 Cadillac. By the time you get through with the bills you're going to have from all the stuff that's going to break down on it at some point, or something else, you're going to end up paying $30,000 or whatever it was. So the Course teaches you that the ego is always trying to trick the law, and you really can't trick the law. But it won't necessarily come back to you through the person that you gave it to. So because I share it with you, it doesn't mean I should be expecting it to necessarily come back from you. It might, but it could come back from somebody else completely different. You know, so it's wild to watch how, because it's a totally different mindset that we're, this calls for another paradigm. It's another paradigm. So I'm going to continue with this section next week on right teaching, right learning. I think it'll be worth it to go through it in detail the way that we're doing. All right. Okay, troops, you're going back out in the lab and let's see if you can do a little demonstration. And believe in the people that you're going to give it to. All right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is that like a new concept, living in the students?
Yeah.
But it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I didn't
even thought. And to apply it to your partner.